Hello. All right.
I have kind of a gym voice, so I'll keep the mic a little bit further away. Guys, thank you for coming tonight. My name's Connor Horgan. I'm the founder of Half Full Brewery. We're part of the people kind of putting together this tent here. I actually worked with Handy here on a board called Innovate Stamford, which then has morphed into a board called Stamford Next. And that board actually is the board that provided this program, that provided a grant to make this all happen. Had fun with Handy on that board. We've talked a lot about entrepreneurship and creating spaces and programs and meetups like this to get things going. And Wes Bemis, who's going to take the mic in a sec, is now leading that charge as the program manager of Stamford Next. So we wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about what we're doing in Stamford and then transition to the normal program. So thanks for joining us. Enjoy the beer and the food, and we'll get things going.
Thanks, Connor.
Is this me here?
You can sit. You can stand up.
I was just going to stand. Yeah, no. So, anyways, thanks again. Thank you all for coming. I'm Wes. I'm the executive director of Stamford Next, and you have not heard of us yet because we only were founded 2 months ago. Stamford Next is the organizer of a grant from the state of Connecticut. The state decided that the best way to spur entrepreneurship and innovation in Connecticut was to get into the cities and start talking to entrepreneurs and saying, hey, what are your ideas for growing the community, growing your businesses, growing the cities, and how can we help with that? So what we're working on right now is that the first week in January, we're going to post an RFP live, request for proposals, on stamfordnext.org. At which you tell us a couple things about yourself, tell us about your idea, put together some guidelines on what you think, how this will impact the economy and the community of Stamford. We'll review it, and then over the course of the spring, we're going to start putting some funding behind these projects. We've been lucky enough to receive a grant for $2 million, and we want to start spending it around the city and putting it into the hands of some people who care about things. Connor's a recipient. I know Handy's going to put in an application, and we're hearing some really cool things from Stamford Innovation Week is going to come together with us, so a lot of stuff is happening around here, and I'm excited because I get to hear about all of it and then give some money to some people who really deserve it. And if I could just point to the 5 real quick things that we see are elements of, how do you grow an economy in a small city? I think for me, it's you support entrepreneurs. You give young professionals a strong sense of place, so this sort of environment that ties you to the city. You invest in humans and human capital. You show a real commitment to social growth and sustainability. And you make Stamford a place that people want to be. So to that end, I'm going to pass it off to Handy and Ryan. And thank you guys for coming. And January 6th, give us your ideas, stamfordnext.org.
All right, thank you, Wes. Thank you, Wes. All right, well, good evening. Thanks for coming.
This is yours.
Can we hear well? There's not too much, not too loud on the other side. Everything's okay? And the reason why we're testing the sound is we always record the meetups. So I know, I'm happy everybody's able to be here today. There's a lot of people who are actually not able to attend. And so we want to be able to record and videotape. That's why we want to make sure the sound is okay. But again, thanks you for coming. We're going to have a Q&A. So I'll use one microphone for the crowd, so you guys can pass this around. I'm very happy that we have Ryan with us today. There couldn't be a better person for me to interview today as it comes to entrepreneurship and tips, on growing your business. And so the idea that I had today is kind of keep it open. I have a couple of questions to get it started. But then based on what he's saying, you can kind of complement and make sure you get answers to the questions that you have pertaining to your business and the things that you're looking to grow. That makes sense? Very good.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That's loud.
Master sound. All right, so one microphone for the crowd. One for you guys. I think there's a fourth one, right?
Check, check, check.
So, again, I did not do the proper introduction last time. And I know that some people saw the actual invite. But the reason why Ryan is here is obviously because of his pedigree as an entrepreneur. And I put it on the flyer. I'm very happy that Ryan is here because he's built multiple 7-figure companies working from a coffee shop right here in Connecticut. And so as it comes to being successful as an entrepreneur, I don't know another a better person that could be here today. He's also a success coach, best-selling author, and he has his new company, Rewind. So yes. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm just here to plug my Rewind company. So you're getting zero value today. So just drink up, have some fun.
Did you bring the bars?
Of course not. Why should I bring bars? What I have? No. We actually just got more in. We had sold out for the past month. So they're on the way.
Very good.
They're not here tonight, sorry.
Very good. So let's have a seat.
Rule number one of marketing, actually bring your stuff with you.
So Q&A, everybody relax, you know, and then let's get the most we can out of Ryan today. Thanks again for coming.
Thank you. It's like an awkward talk show. I like this. Awkward business with Handy.
Right?
Ask away.
We can make this more awkward. I can.
No, I just want to... I want to come here to share, because he said, you know, you're going to speak in a tent in December at Stanford. I'm in.
Right?
I'm in. Tough crowd tonight. All right, you guys.
Perfect solution.
Here we go.
So again, I know you've built half a dozen companies
with
no outside funding whatsoever. And you speak a lot about the three major growth strategies that have helped you accomplish that.
Yeah.
So I wanted you to first take a deep dive into that for everybody here tonight.
Well, just to give you context, it's really interesting because I built my first company when I lived right down the block on the little condos right across the street from Scalzi Park. So, I mean, I used to walk right past here all the time. Yeah, it was 99, so like 20 years ago. And there's lots and lots of ways to build your business. I think if you're looking at it in terms of like step by step, number one, and I don't want this stuff to sound too general. I want to give you some specifics too, is you really, really have to figure out who it is you're selling to and who you're marketing to. Like that's the most important thing. A lot of times we start with, oh, I have this great idea. You know, I want to open a brewery. I want to, you know, sell this product or service. And then we do it and we build it, whether it's a physical thing or a service or a store or a restaurant. It's built, you spend years talking about it, you finally have it done, and then you're like, shit, how am I going to market it? where it should be the opposite. You've got to figure out who it is you're selling to and who you're marketing to. That's the most important thing. And then when you figure that out, it's like, okay, well now, why are people going to listen to me? How am I different? How is my product different? How is my service different? How am I going to differentiate? Why are they going to buy from me? And we can't move on until we really know that answer. It can't just be the market. Everything has become so much more competitive, right? When I first started my first online business, there was no YouTube. There was no Facebook. Does anyone remember like Webcrawler and Lycos and AltaVista? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. This is how we marketed back in the day. But now everything is so hyper-competitive. I mean, how many breweries? I mean, just in Connecticut, right? There's over 100 just in Connecticut. So it's becoming much more difficult. It's in one way, it's great because the barrier to entry for a lot of businesses and companies are pretty easy, right? You set up a website, you market. You can get started for very little money, which is good. But the challenge with that is because the barrier to entry is so low, is more and more people are coming in. So how are you going to differentiate? How are you going to stand out? How are you going to be different? People talk about, well, what's your brand, right? How do you define brand? The way I define brand is really simple. It's what's your vibe. It's not your logo and your tagline. No one gives a shit about that. I'm just going to lay it. I'm just going to be real. It doesn't matter. You don't have to spend 7 months designing your logo and worrying about, well, it's this shade of blue, and oh, my God, I need business cards. Stop playing business. It's your vibe and what's going to differentiate you. And here's like kind of an advanced little marketing thing that I do. I use something called triggers. You guys ever hear of someone called Jonah Berger? He wrote a great book called Contagious. It's worth reading. One of the things he talks about are triggers, and it's having something that's not necessarily related to your business, but having people think of your business. So let me give an example. There was a company I used to own called Freedom, Freedym. And every time I'd market or email my list, I would say, hey, it's Ryan, and here I am working from Starbucks. And hey, it's Ryan, this morning I'm here at Starbucks. To the point where people would go to Starbucks and they were tagging me all the time, every day, all day. Hey, I'm at Starbucks. I'm living the freedom lifestyle or the Ryan Lee lifestyle. It was a trigger. With Rewind, our kind of trigger, I talk a lot about kind of 80s, 70s, 90s retro music stuff to the point now where people see an 80s meme or like Breakfast Club or Bon Jovi or whatever, they tag me and they say, oh, Rewind. It's like a little mental trigger. So what can you do in your business to potentially have a trigger? And it could be a day. Oh, so I'll say this. If I say Tuesday, what food do you think of? Taco. Taco Tuesday, right? Is there something that maybe you can relate to your business that's a day or a meal? This is the hard part. This is the strategy. Everyone wants the tactics. Everyone's like, well, how do you get 200,000 shares on Facebook or, you know, 2 million views on YouTube? But it's the strategy is the most important thing and finding ways to differentiate. Another thing to do is really use your story, like the why behind why you started it. We're talking about half full and you're an investment banker and you had the idea and how am I going to do this? Using that story and baking it into your business, baking it into your marketing. I started my bar company because I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder about 5-6 years ago, and I couldn't find a good bar that had no inflammatory ingredients. So that story is baked into our business and our marketing. Stories are really what sells. You can't, for my bar, I can't out-organic another bar, right? You can't, you're a CPA, right? You can't say, well, I do books. I mean, everyone knows kind of what you do. So why am I going to trust you? Like, why am I going to go with Handy?
Right.
Besides the fact you have a cool name.
Right.
Like what's the thing, right? Like, what's the story? Why am I going to listen to you? So that's kind of like the brand marketing stew. You start there, and then we start building upon that. But you got to start there before you start doing ads and start buying traffic and start doing banners and logos and doing all that crazy stuff.
Can I dig in and ask you for, like, a couple more examples? Talk about,
no.
Like, your...
Yeah, come on, Handy.
Tough guy.
What?
But give me an example of your positioning, the positioning that has really worked. I know you mentioned one. Give me a couple more. We've talked about like half a dozen companies that have reached 7 figures. 2 have reached 8 figures. Can you talk about the 8-figure ones? Like, what was the positioning, the branding?
Sure, I'll give you a perfect example. So one company we had that reached 8 figures in sales, it was a nutritional supplement company. And I started it about 10 years ago. Did you guys ever hear of something called krill oil? Krill, K-R-I-L-L. It's like a high-potency omega-3 fish oil. What are some things, do you guys know what, like, omega-3s and what it's really good for? Like, what are some benefits of fish oil? Anyone, fish oil, like, what would give me some, there's a lot of benefits of fish oil, a lot. One of them is heart health. So what I did was, instead of saying, take this, and it's good for your skin, your hair, your heart, and blah, 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 blah. I took one specific benefit. I pulled out that one benefit, and we built the entire company. I came up with a name called Omega K, standing for krill. And all of our ads, our marketing, our traffic was all for men 50 and over and for heart health. Yes, there are other benefits, but I didn't care about that. That's all we focus on, and that's why we did well. There's a famous story. Did you guys ever – this is going to show my age. Does anyone remember the Thighmaster? Raise your hand if you remember the Thighmaster. If not, you're probably very young. There was this piece of exercise equipment. It looked like this little blue thing. And remember what you did with it? You put it between the legs. And that was it. It was a little spring thing. Originally, it was a full body fitness piece of equipment. They said they did commercials. They used it for upper body, for your chest, for your lats, your back. It bombed. And they said, well, why don't we just focus on one thing, call it the Thighmaster, and they put it here, and they said, that's all it does, and the thing exploded. It's sometimes you have to look really deep at what it is you offer and pull out that one magic, like that one nugget, and go all in on that. Now, there's a saying, there's riches in niches, and it's really true. If it's too competitive now to be everything to everyone, because you're going to race to the middle, and the worst sin you could be in online, especially marketing, is boring. And vanilla. You have to find ways to stand out and be really, really specific. If I was working with Handy and I was saying, okay, who do you want to work with? And he says, small businesses. Well, let's dive deeper. And he may say, well, okay, restaurants. Well, can we be even more specific? Well, what about just pizza places? Now, all of a sudden, he becomes the small business advisor for pizza shop owners. Now you can own that niche, like finding those little specifics. That was one example.
Feels like the one benefit that you think will just help you win. Like, we will win by, you know, just focusing on this one benefit.
Right.
So to you, that's the key to branding. That's the key to...
It's really, really important, especially now. And here's the thing. As an entrepreneur, sometimes you don't know. Like, we think we know. So when I started the bar, I wasn't sure which story was going to resonate. So we would market and do ads for, because it was a vegan bar. We had vegan ads. It's a gluten-free bar. We had gluten-free ads. And then I tried one ad for non-inflammatory. And non-inflammatory was the winner. So we leaned into that. Being an entrepreneur is about being agile. Like, you're going to shift. And if you come in with this thing that, this is what I'm doing, this is my product, this is the name, and you're not willing to budge, the minute you press up against the, like, challenges, you're going to be in trouble. So you just have to come and be like, all right, let's go. Like, let's see what happens. And your market decides. And it's not, this isn't your, like, if you're marketing to pizza shop owners, walking around here, it doesn't help you. Because what do when you talk to your friends? Like, you guys are going to go for holidays and Christmas and Hanukkah dinners and all this stuff. You say, oh, I have this great idea. What are they going to say? Oh, it's cool. I'll buy one. Right? Or I'll sign up for that. And then you go live, and then they're friggin' gone. Right? They got the dinosaur on. Oh, I can't reach in my wallet. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It's who has the, they vote with their wallets. And you don't know until you get it out there. And you might find one thing's working and then one thing's not, and you lean into one that is and you ignore the rest.
I can relate so much to what you're doing. There's a lot of people that do different businesses, and I see this posted on Facebook a lot. And they talk about, if you want to lose a friend, ask him to support your business. You know, if you want to lose a girl, ask him to support your business. So like you're saying, initially, you want your friends to support you, but with that one brand positioning statement, you want to be able to actually have a business outside of your interior circle. So the positioning, yeah. I feel, is like number one. Do you feel like you said everything about positioning, or is there anything else in positioning and branding that is like key to you?
Man, well, I could spend days and days talking about branding and positioning. Is there a specific question you guys have about a branding positioning question? If not, we can go on to the marketing stuff. But I think we talked about the most important things. I'm trying not to make it generic, because I know there's people in different businesses that I'm trying to make it as specific and usable as possible.
So let's talk about the different businesses that are in the room, just to kind of liven it up. Just very quickly, what business are you in? Give her the mic and pass the mic to the right.
I did not catch one word. Not even, nothing.
Right?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, cool. My name is Shannon. I am the business center manager at Office Evolution, which is one, it's a co-working space in Stanford. We offer turnkey solutions to office space and supporting small businesses as they're trying to position themselves in the market to put their best foot forward for their clients. On Monday, you'll all get a little invitation to join us for a week of co-working or a week in a private office to test out what we offer.
That's cool. Interesting. So co-working space in Stanford Office Evolution. They actually offered a free week of co-working for anybody who attends the meetup. So they're right
there. Wow, look at that. You guys are benefiting. Big time. You got beer. You got free co-working.
Very quickly, what business are you in?
Jay Ragusa. I'm in the ice cream business, Gopher Ice Cream. We're located in Stanford. We have four other locations in the area.
We love Gopher.
Thank you.
What's your one differentiator, Jay, for Gopher?
Why am I going to go to Gopher versus all the other ice cream places?
Gopher is the home team, so you're going to go there for the sense of community and the connection you have to your friends at Gopher.
So it's local, like you're really playing into the local.
Yeah.
What do you feel is the differentiator for Office Evolution? What do you think that you guys can win, like, by really taking this position?
Why am I gonna rent an office or rent space at your place versus the other co-working spaces? And it's, I know it's challenging because it's, yeah, a lot of it is kind of location, right? But why else?
We're not like a college lounge. Some of the other spaces in the area that I visited feel a little bit like a college lounge. And I think for those who are really looking to set themselves apart and invite their clients in for meetings, they'll see that everyone is working. They're not just lounging out on couches. So, you know, each space provides something different for everyone. So we have a very professional vibe.
So it's a professional vibe.
Yeah.
And by the way, when I talked before about your brand, it's really your vibe. Here's a good little exercise. Give me one word if you thought about your business or your company, one word that would describe it. What? Trust?
Drop the mic.
Give me a word that would describe your co-working space. Give me one.
Friendly.
Okay. Jay.
That was my word. Friends.
Friendly.
Welcoming.
Well, the point of this. Okay, so now come up with a second one. What's that? Value prop. Give me something more descriptive. Like the vibe. Not the actual deliverable, huh? What was that? So come up with second one, and then here's where you really start to get the vibe of your brand. Come up with three. When you could come up with three, right? Because I could describe Handy. I could say Handy is warm, he's trustworthy, and you start to get a picture, right? But now when I add the third one, but he's approachable or he's friendly, now it starts to get a much complete. He is smiling like
I'm smiling.
He is so happy about this.
Zayed.
But now you start to get a much more complete picture versus like this kind of superficial stuff. So if you can, you got to come up with three, which is the vibe of your. Give me three.
So I was going to ask you a question around how you multiply yourself, right? As you're trying to grow your company, and so because I had a similar challenge, right? And it actually links back to this question of three, right? So we created a value system we call it Fabric. It stands for fun, loving, audacious, brilliant, restless, impactful, and collaborative. And so anytime we do something like this or wherever, we try and hit on three to four of those things.
Good.
And so that's, I've tried to use that as a way to get me out of meetings, get me out, you know, not have to be everywhere. And so my question was going to be for you, not to all of a sudden ask a question, but I thought it kind of related, was how do you multiply yourself, right? Because you're obviously a dynamic guy, you've started a lot of things, but you need to grow your company.
Right.
And obviously you go hire talented people, but they may think of things differently. And like, so how do you then hand the trust off to those people that you're hiring, right? So
yeah.
That you feel like you don't need to be there in every single place at every single time.
I try to focus on as many of the highest leverage activities that I can. So what's your highest leverage thing that you can do for your business?
Raise capital or do like revenue generating, you know, partnerships.
Do that. I mean, it's surrounding yourself with the right people that obviously, you know, building out your team. But in terms of, you know, figuring out how do you get the most leverage, for me, I look at it more as a marketing thing. Like, no matter what business you're in, someone could say, I'm a chiropractor. Well, you're a marketer who sells chiropractic services. You're not a brewer. You're a marketer who happens to sell beer, you know. Jay is a marketer who happens to sell ice cream. So you're a marketer selling business space, really. So we're marketers first. We're not a dentist or an insurance salesman. So if we put on the marketing hat, I look at, okay, what are the best ways to increase our marketing without me having to do see, to this? This is not a high leverage activity for me at all. It's the complete opposite. But I love Handy, and I'm like, of course I'll come to Stanford in December in a tent. why wouldn't I? So this is probably the worst, you know, and people would say yes to see, when we're starting out, we're hungry and we want to do things, and we're like, oh yeah, I'll do this, and I'll have 10 of my energy bars there. But it's really a terrible way to market.
Right.
The best way is direct. I love direct marketing, so especially online. So using different platforms. So for example, Facebook, there's how many billion, there's 1.8 billion, 2 billion people on it now, whatever it is. I could do one ad, and we could start increasing that ad and reach hundreds of thousands or millions of people instantly, which is the highest leverage. So right now, we're spending, we're going to start to increase. So at the height, our company, we were spending 20, $2,000 to $23,000 a day just on Facebook ads. So showing, you know, getting in front of hundreds and hundreds, you know, making thousands of orders a day versus going here and selling 8 bars. But most entrepreneurs think, well, how do I just sell 8 bars? It is challenging. I know it's more difficult because obviously, like, if you have a physical space, there's only so much you can do with that. But I would say the more time you could find, the higher leverage, especially ads on wherever your people are, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn. And really, the biggest hire is going to be someone who's good at buying media and buying traffic to get the word out.
And I want to dive into that because you talked about positioning, you know, having your story, having, you know, that one thing that will help you win. And, you know, Connor asked a great question about, you know, making the best use of your time. And the comment is very real. Like, you know, what's the best use of your time at this point? So I wanted you to talk about traffic generation because I look at Facebook, I look at Instagram, I look at different things. Some people that are very successful at it, some people that aren't. So what's your view on generating traffic and actually being be seen outside of, you know, events? So what are your key points to actually drive traffic to either your website, to actually gain some traction?
There's two basic ways to get traffic, right? If we're talking more online, there's free and there's paid. Most people focus on the free, and they do a Facebook post, and they're pissed off, or they only get 3 likes, or a YouTube video, and 8 views, and 7 are from your mom, and they're really pissed off. Social media, you just don't know. It's some things win, some things lose. I will say, if you are focusing on free traffic, one of my best students, guy Jeff Cavalier, started AthleanX, and it's for social media, it's about consistency. It's consistency, doing it day after day, year after year. The only way to really truly grow it, though, to have anything with certainty, is paid traffic. And I get asked all the time, well, how do I know, like, how do I get something for $1 a click? Or is $1 a click a good rate? Or should I spend 25 cents a click? Is that good? And the answer is, I don't know, because I don't know what your lifetime customer value is. That's the most important metric you need to know. What is each person worth over the course of their lifetime doing business with you? And until you know that, you can't buy traffic because you don't know. Because you can say, all right, I have, so Handy, if I was hiring you as like my outsourced CFO, what would I pay you average like per month?
Per month, that would be at least 200.
All right, 200 a month. And how long, on average, would the average person stay with you? How many years?
Well, it depends on how,
on average.
On average, I would want them to be there for life. But in all honesty, if somebody takes off, they'll eventually have somebody in-house. So I would say, on average, I would say 3 to 5 years.
Okay, so let's be conservative. I'm always conservative. 3 years, $200 a month. That's $2,400 a year times 3, 2, 4, 6, 4, 8, 12. What is that? I don't know. Whatever that number is. Let's call it $7,000. He knows each customer, each actual paid client he gets in is worth $7,000, right? Now he at least has an idea of what he could start paying for traffic. So he can go to LinkedIn and pay potentially $10, $50 a lead, $100 a lead, $500 a lead. Then we have to start backing out and looking at the conversion. All right, I got $100 a lead. Out of every person that comes in, I'm going to close 3% of them. What's your cost per lead? It cost me $2,000 to... So you may say, hey, it cost me $2,000 to get a customer. And people would be like, holy shit. Are you crazy? But they're worth 7. So I would do that all day. And I lose money on our first sale. When we're selling our bars, I can't give specific numbers, but we'll lose, let's say, $3 to $4 every box we sell. Which is, I'll take that because I know what our customer's worth. So you have to know that if you want to. People talk about scaling all the time, but they don't know the numbers. So you have to get as close as you can to knowing that lifetime customer value before you can spend money. Whether it's direct marketing ads, whether it's an ad in the Stanford Advocate, still the paper here, right?
Right.
I mean, Stanford Advocate. Or whether you're doing a billboard, or whether you're taking space here, or renting a tent, or doing a LinkedIn ad, or a Facebook ad, or a YouTube ad, you have to know the numbers, and it's got to back out. So you got to know lifetime customer value.
So what are the major don'ts? Because obviously, you know, Facebook ads. How many people here have used Facebook ads before? So how many people are consistently using Facebook ads? All right, so talk to me about the do's and don'ts of, like, your traffic generation. What is it that you feel stops people from doing more of it?
First, we don't test enough. Mm-hmm. We just throw one ad out there and one graphic. And we say, I've spent $200, and it doesn't work. And you're like, all right, that's it. but you didn't change. One easy thing to do is change the image, or change, at least test something completely drastically different. Test an image versus a video. Like, videos work really, really well. And I'm telling you right now, if you're testing videos, the thing that's working, let's see who's actually paying attention.
Right.
Some people like checking phones and shit. That's okay.
That's not good.
That's right. It annoys me. But listen, if you're doing videos, I'm gonna tell you what's working right now. It's the more real, the better. Okay, so sometimes everyone goes for these really highly produced videos, and they're like, well, I need a special camera, and they hire a videographer, and it's $3,000 or $5,000, but you don't even know if it works. The best video that's worked for me lately, I take out my phone, I do a video, hey, it's Ryan, blah, blah, blah. It's about 2 to 3 minutes, and we run that as an ad. And I'll give you a little, can I give them a little secret here?
Absolutely, that's what we're here for.
We're here as friends. So this works really, really well. Do a Facebook Live video, and then you turn that into the ad. So when it's an ad, it's gonna say Ryan Lee was live, and you turn that into an ad, and that works. Facebook, it's all about the Facebook algorithm, and Facebook loves that. And people see live, and it has this feeling of, okay, this is real, this is raw. People talk about authenticity. You can't get more authentic than doing something live. So if I were you at the co-working space, I'd be there. Hey, and what was your first name again? Shannon. Hey, it's Shannon. I'm here at the co-working space. I just want to give you a little quick tour, blah, 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 and then have a really good call to action. What's your call to action? Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to email you? Do you want them to fill out a form to set, you know, what's the next step you need to take? And then that landing page, the landing page is once they click the ad, where do they go? Must match the look, the tone of your ad. So if my Facebook video is, hey, it's Ryan, and it's this kind of cool thing, and all of a sudden they go to a page, and it's this serious, and it feels completely different, there's a disconnect. So you've got to really have that all meshing together really well. And you have to, here's another big takeaway, big takeaway. It's got to look good on your cell phone. Sometimes we work just from desktops and laptops, and we don't see what it actually looks like, on the phone. You've got to see it, because up to 80, 90% of your people are on the phone checking out ads. So it's got to look good on the phone.
It's got to look good on the phone. All right.
And when you find a winner, scale it, and then create. That's the big stuff. That's the big stuff.
So I want to hear a little bit more. So we talked about branding, positioning. A couple of people have talked about, you know, their branding, their positioning. So I wanted to hear from everybody. I know I reached out to Zayed. I reached out to Bo. So what's your business?
Yeah, I'm in wealth management.
Wealth management?
Yeah.
And what do you feel is your differentiator?
Why am I going to trust you to manage my wealth?
Well, we only do first-class business.
First-class business?
Yeah, first-class way.
Does everyone else do third class? What else?
They are.
Why you, though? Why am I going to listen? Why am I going to trust you?
Well, because of our good, we have a stellar track record and also the capability.
Why is your capability different?
Well, because we have one of the best research team on the street. I'm with Morgan Stanley. And when it comes to investment banking capability, it's just unparalleled.
But you see what I'm saying, though? Like, I still think I want to get to the emotion of it. So right. So take me beyond. So if I'm managing you, why would I hire a wealth manager? Why would I do that?
Well, because we all have our own competitive advantages, right? You do your thing best. Finance is what I do best. So why don't
but not,
we
okay, not about you for a second. Now think
right,
about
right.
me, okay?
Right.
So let's say I have $6 million. I'm like, I want to find a wealth manager. Why do I want to hire a wealth manager?
Because
talk about the emotion of it.
Emotion of it. Well, you probably want to spend your free time with your family, with your friends. So
now
I
we're
take
getting
the burden,
somewhere.
I take the burden of managing your own finances over your shoulders so you can truly focus on things that are important to you.
Now we're getting somewhere. That's the good stuff, right? That's the good stuff. We all stop at stuff. I don't care. I want to know what's in it for me and get me to that. I want why. Right, the two questions you could ask when you're writing copy and thinking of your ads, the two words are so what? Well, we're VIP. Well, so what? Well, it's going to do this. Well, so what? And then you start digging deeper, because that's where the ad should be. And most ads would be, hey, we're wealth management. We do this in VIP. Whereas if you just came on and said, look, I understand how hard you've worked for your money. and I know you want to have more time and you want to be able to just breathe and not have the stress and worry about who's managing your money and have more time with your family, that's what I do. I take all that stress off you. If you want to do a call, click the button. Now you got me. We're first class, which is what everyone says. And so few people, people ask me, well, why have my businesses succeeded? How am I outselling billion-dollar companies now in an energy bar? It's because of that, because I understand the human emotion, and we go beyond the superficial bullshit of, like, it's gluten-free. Well, who cares? Well, you know, getting deeper. Everything is about deeper. Even the office space, the entrepreneur, like, all right, the frat, it's not the frat, it's not all that kind of stuff. But think about that independent, like, why do people start their own business? What's the number one reason? What is the number one reason, Shannon? What's that? Flexibility. Freedom. They want freedom. Everyone thinks it's money. It's not. It's freedom. So you've got, and your ads should be for that. If you want freedom, starting a business is the greatest thing in the world. It's the most challenging, but it's great. And that freedom, and then you get them there.
So I know we covered, you know, branding and traffic, and we're kind of scaling back to branding. I think we've covered enough. I wanted to hear, what are your challenges? For example, we got Mark here. Mark, you do. Give Mark a...
Marky Mark.
I do web and graphic design for small businesses.
Graphic design for small businesses.
Yep.
Okay.
And so that the one thing that the reason that you would want to use me is that I listen to you. And that might not sound like much, but a lot of the small businesses that come to me, they've had a web designer build something that they hate. And the thing that frosts them most was that they were brushed aside. The web designer didn't take any of their ideas. They didn't implement anything that they wanted. These business owners know their business. They know their customers. Right. And they're left with something that doesn't work for them. So I listen. And when I put my proposal together, I summarize our conversation so they know that they were heard.
Do you have a guarantee?
I've never thought about that.
Let me ask you this. If I hired you to do my web design and I hated it, are you going to give me my money back? Are you going to work with me? What are you going to do?
That's a good point. No, I don't have one, but
But let me ask you, if I did, like, practically speaking, you just designed my site. I'm like, what was your first name again?
Mark.
Mark, I really don't like the site. I don't like the colors. I don't like anything. I'm not happy. What would you do?
That's a tough one, because if I checked off everything in the proposal that the client agreed to and signed for, I might give them a break. You know, but would I give them all their money back? Would that be fair? I mean, if someone trying to fleece me.
Well, I always look at, I completely get it. I always look at and we have one filter in our business. What would I want if I was the customer? And I would want a refund, and I would give a refund. But so I'm not saying you have to give, I'm just saying if you were to give a refund anyway.
No, it's an interesting thought.
And if you were, then that's a value proposition right there. Hey, okay. If you don't love we're going to work so well together, and I'm going to have the checklist, and I'm so confident I'm going to nail your vision that if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back, because you shouldn't pay me. Because if you're doing your job and you're doing exactly what they say and following it, you should do what they deliver, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So, and if that's the case, then say, hey, I'm the only graphic designer who's going to build your thing, and if you hate it after going through this whole process and all the redesigns, then you shouldn't pay me anyway. I'm just throwing that out there as like, why wouldn't I sign up with you? Because there's risk involved, and I'm scared because I've been burned before, and I don't want to waste more money and pay you and then have something I don't like. So you're taking all the risk away.
Okay.
It's reducing risk, too.
Okay. Interesting idea. Thank you.
I get them once in a while.
What business are you in?
I'm actually in landscaping. Cool. So the web... doesn't work for me as well, but...
It works. We're online. We're looking. It absolutely works. But do you do anything online at all?
No, not really.
When you do, do you do design, or is it like basic lawnmower and like mowing the lawn and the...
No, when I decided to go on my own, I offered the customer like everything. You hire me, you know, from maintenance, design, applications, snow removal.
Do you still do that?
Yes.
So you're like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, that was my point. But listening to you about the niche, maybe I'm thinking maybe I made.
Well, I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm saying your niche could be like you're the landscaping concierge, like you're one phone call, like you. What's the pain point? The pain point is I have to hire a landscaper. I deal this with my house. We have to hire a landscaper. We need a designer. What's the other stuff you do? We need a snowplow person. We need like four or five people. But it's like one call, I'm your guy. Like, and what it does, it takes all the pressure off me. Like, I don't have time to call all these people, and I want one person I could trust. Like,
yeah, that was my goal. My.
You keep saying was, like it was in the past.
It still is. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm.
Are you good?
Yes.
Are you the fucking best?
No, nobody's the best. But,
I don't want to hire someone. I want the best. Like, you got to be confident.
I'm doing well, so that's I got to my, you know.
Yeah, but let's. I'm gonna coach this. I'm gonna coach you for free. Okay. I want you to come up and be like, these. I am gonna rock your world. I'm gonna save you time. I'm gonna save you money. I'm gonna save you headaches. Like, I want you to sell me, not bullshit, but like, give me the real.
Huh? I'm
you've
good.
You've got your Flavor Flav right here. Your hype man. So, huh? Yeah. I feel like if I don't sign up with you guys, are gonna break my kneecaps or something later. So I'm gonna turn.
turn on to the right. Turn.
No,
on.
But I want to see confidence. Like I'm your guy. I'm your concierge. I got everything you need in one place. And you can absolutely market that.
Yes, I and also I try to let my work speak for myself. You know, and then it.
It's too crowded
now. In landscaping, it works though, you know.
But can you take on more customers now? Do you have time? Do you have space? You could always use more customers.
I would have to work on it though.
All right.
Very good. So branding position. What's your business?
Sorry. So I was in the corporate world for 25 years or so. Worked right across the street for a fairly big financial company. I got out of it about 4 or 5 years ago. I want to do my own thing. I want to get out of it. Don't deal with the corporate BS. Just kind of create. And my pitch, if you will, with anyone I work with is I want to be part of your success.
That's what's your what do you actually do?
So I'm starting to do is small business consulting.
Small business consulting.
Helping people like my buddy Nerico here that are really good at what they do to sell it to the rest of the community and grow
any
their
business. Any specific market? Or just any small business?
Not really. All I started to do was like, you know, a couple of friends. I started doing business development plan for a friend of mine who's a wine importer. And I started working with a friend of mine who's got the super fancy skincare and new cane and this thinking kind of, do I stay here? Do I branch out? Do I go to Greenwich? Do I go different places? So, you know, I'm at this basically early stages trying to talk to some of the people that have the needs that I know that
so
I can.
So you're like an outsource, like biz dev. You're like biz dev for hire.
Pretty much, yes, yes.
Well, that would at least then I understand it. Like even if you wrap it in that sentence, like I'm your biz dev guy.
Yes.
You could niche it down to specific industries, or you know, you can always. That's the thing with niching it down. You can always start really narrow and then expand out. Like you can start with, okay, I'm working with just landscapers. And then eventually say, well, I work with all service businesses. And then, you know, I work with physical product companies. Or you could say I start with e-commerce companies. Like, you could always go start really niche. I find it's much easier to get to get some traction when you start with a niche and then expand out.
So, very good. So, you have a question? Go ahead.
Question for Ryan. If you were starting a new online-only business, plant-based ice cream, local, where would you spend your marketing? Would it be Facebook video or AdWords or?
Well, assuming you have the actual process figured out between the freezer storage and the delivery, assuming all that is done, I would go direct to consumer. I would do Facebook ads.
Video or is that most effective or either way?
Images tend to get more sales because a lot more people they'll see the image and click versus watching a video.
Right.
But in general, again, you don't know what you don't know. But in general, videos will get less, but they'll get higher conversion because people are more engaged. So if someone watches a 3-minute live video with me explaining the anti-inflammatory nature of the bars and all that stuff, and they click, they're much higher, they're much more likely to buy versus someone who just clicked an image. So I'll get less volume, but usually a better customer. And then you got to test your offer, because it's really about the offer. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to offer a discount on the first one? Are you going to offer samples? And it's all tweaking and testing and trying different things. I'd say if you're doing direct-to-consumer, what works really, really well is, I'm going to get a little kind of markety, is an immediate one-click upsell after they buy. So, for example, let's say they buy, what's a flavor you might do?
Like a coffee flavor.
Okay, so coffee ice cream.
Honey coffee or something?
My New York's going to come out. Coffee. So you get the coffee ice cream. The best upsell you can offer is more of what they just bought. It's, you know, a classic upsell instead of a cross sell. So if they buy one, if they buy two pints of it, hey, for let's say $10 each, buy one more for 30% off. Right. We've increased our revenue so much just by that one simple, like when they buy, they can buy 10 boxes and you buy, hey, one box more for 40% off. Almost half the people take that extra box.
At the same time, right when they click
after
it.
You do it after they already order.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's they already checked out. Hey, your delivery is going to be on the way. By the way, if you want more, click here, and then it adds it to the order. Right. They don't have to re-enter their credit card.
Right.
Depending on your technology, what you're using. But that's the easiest way to boost revenue by like 40%. And when you have when you boost your AOV, your average order value, then you could spend more on traffic. And when you spend more, the problem, the Facebook ads have gotten so expensive because people who know their lifetime customer value will outspend you. And they'll go, a lot of the smartest marketers in the world will go negative on the front. They'll lose. They'll say, I'll lose. Handy, if his customers were $7,000, he can lose $6,000 and still make it, right? So he can outspend people who are saying, oh, I won't spend more than a dollar a click. It's really a numbers game. Marketing is about, it's two things. It's your smart, it's the smarts, it's this stuff, it's the marketing and the conversions, and it's the heart. It's also just showing you're friggin' real and getting to the emotion of it and all of that good stuff. Some of the really smart marketers don't take the heart stuff into the account, and then some of the heart people who are like, if I do good stuff, everything's going to go my way, and they're not living in reality either, and then their marketing sucks, and they're like, well, I'm just going to rely on word of mouth. Well, good luck paying your mortgage with that. So it's that intersection. It's combining the heart and the emotion and people knowing that you really care about them and you really give a shit and you've got their back and you put them first and then telling them. So I'll give you one quick example. Because we just did our last run of bars, we did hundreds and hundreds of thousands of bars this last run, and our price per bar came down a couple pennies. So it actually cost me now a dollar less per box to make. So what did I do instead of profiting the dollar per box? I lowered the price of the bar, a dollar. And I told my customers, I said, hey, I just want to let you know, because we ordered so many bars, our price actually went down. So instead of me putting a dollar in my pocket, I'm lowering the price and I'm passing that on to you. People are losing their minds. I didn't do it to be manipulative. I was just being transparent. We lowered the price and here's why. And they couldn't be happier. And it's a buck.
That's awesome. And so we've covered the branding.
I got a question.
The traffic. And
it's like a question from God somewhere. Oh, there.
Right here.
DJ, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm more than a DJ. I'm not just a DJ. Question. For a business that is a cleanup service, what would be your take on advertising and marketing that type of business?
What do you mean? Can you describe what do you mean?
Basically, my business is you don't want it, I'll take it away. That's
it.
Scrap.
Like junk removal type stuff?
Yes,
like a 1-800 got junk type.
Exactly.
So I would start thinking in terms of marketing. Who are the people, specifically customers, where are they on their journey to say, I need your service? What are they usually going through in their life?
Well, what has been helping me, I've been going through moving companies, realtors, storage units, and a lot of people just need that extra person just to help them move stuff. Or you get tired of looking at one couch and you want to get rid of it, but you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or any other business, they charge your arm and a leg.
Right.
I'm not. I'm that smaller guy, will come to your house and just take it away for less.
So it's less expensive, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, in terms of small business marketing, that's a smart move. You find the other services and companies that are already serving that market and find a way to kind of joint venture with them.
Yeah.
If you were going and you said, well, I want to start marketing online, then I would start thinking in terms of a customer, well, what life changes are they going through? You know, are they, maybe it's, because it's incredible on Facebook. It's, if you guys knew the kind of data they had on you, you'd like flip out. It's unbelievable. So you could say, well, let me target people who are 50 and over, or 55 and older and have kids. So there's a good chance that maybe they're going to, the kids are moving out and going to college. So there's a good chance, a much better chance that they're looking then to clean out their house. And there could be empty nesters, or they're moving. Right, or people who are, if with Facebook you can target a certain, like you can target people who are divorced, but you can't call that out in the ad. Meaning you could say, okay, I'm on a target 60-year-old women who are divorced and live in Connecticut, but you can't say in the ad, hey, divorced women, Facebook won't allow that. So you have to be able to be careful around that.
Well. So you're saying basically that to target yourself to certain people. Me, I don't want to target myself to certain people because everybody might have something to get rid of. I don't care if it's a couch. I don't care if it's a chair. I don't care if it's a car. I don't care if it's a boat. Everybody has something to get rid of. I clean your garage. I clean your attic. It doesn't matter.
Right, but you have to meet them where they are, and they usually, in terms of marketing, if you're gonna spend money, it's really hard to target everyone in the world. It's impossible. You can't make money that way. I'm just saying from a marketing perspective, okay. If I was running ads for that, I would test different market segments. And maybe you find something weird like, oh my, these people they're more apt to subscribe to like Good Housekeeping magazine. I don't know what your demographic is going to be specifically. Mm-hmm. Cause it's not going to be really 17-year-olds, right? Probably not. They're an outlier. So you have to get really, really specific. And then once you start getting buyers, that's the thing with ads. Once you start getting buyers, then you create what's called custom audiences. And then Facebook has an algorithm that runs, and it's going to find people who are much more likely to buy your product or service. And then Facebook starts putting it in front of the right people. Like, did you ever get ads in Facebook? You're like, oh, my God, that's pretty cool. And then you click on one, and all of a sudden you start seeing similar ads. Like, one of my kids plays basketball. I'm getting, like, so many basketball ads now. I think I'm like Dr. J.
I haven't done the Facebook ad yet, by the way. It's only a year since I've been involved, been doing it, and I'm kind of busy every day just doing that. But I know
hustling.
I'm definitely a hustler.
I like it.
This is my other business, what I'm doing.
You got a lot of side hustles.
Yeah, so
all right,
it works.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
That's good. Any other specific questions on what we covered so far? She had a question? Go ahead.
See what I'm saying?
So, yes, I do have questions. What was the thing that you think made you realize this is it? I can replicate this in all the other businesses, and it's going to make me millions. For what I'm hearing is targeting. Try to get as close to a niche as possible and just focus on that niche. Try to get the ads and the marketing to that niche, even on Facebook or everything else that you do, just to that niche. Once you get it done, then you can expand. Is that the thing that you think everybody has to really realize? And once you explode that, it's going to take you to that 7 figures level?
Well, I really think, like, I'm really not smarter than anyone else here. Like, I don't have my MBA. I never took a business course. My undergraduate degree is recreational therapy. I was a play therapist. I spent my first 6 years out of college, I worked in a children's hospital. And I worked with kids with disabilities. Like, that was my whole life. And then I was a gym teacher in the Bronx. So, but I know people. And I think the thing that set me apart from the competitors is that I know people, I care about people, and they know that. So I think it's so rare in these days because everyone's thinking of the money first and they're putting people over profit. And I think, and everyone says, oh, what's your passion? But I think more important than your passion, I think the reason I knew this was going to work when I first started in 1999 it's purpose. It's your purpose is over the is you have to put that's like the most important thing. Like, what's that driver? And you figure that out, and then you work the business around that. But it really is figuring out who it is you're talking to, and you have to look them in the eyes and be able to say, like, I truly care about you and your business or whatever problem you're going to solve. So even if it's like the brewery, like, you're looking at them and saying, I want you to have a really good time. Like, whatever that thing is you're selling, and give it everything you fucking, I don't want to curse here, friggin' got. Everything, I know we're like near the kitty area. You got to give it everything you got, like your heart and soul, and people have to know you really care, and you've got their back. Like, that's the most important thing. And then the other stuff you figure out. Like, when I first started online, there was no Facebook. There were no Facebook ads. There was no pay-per-click ads. Only a few years in, it was a search engine called GoTo.com, and you could do a penny a click. That was, like, the first start of it. So I was just early on in the thing, but I created products and programs that just served people and treated them with respect and really, really well. And, yeah, like, would some people take advantage, you know, like, use a service or product and say, I want a refund even though they're not entitled to it? Yes. Do I give them the refund anyway? Hell yeah. Don't even think about it. So the consistency, I think, is a big one. You have to show up every single day, and they have to know that. And then you stick to whatever your story is, whatever your brand is, having that consistency throughout. Because we all go on a journey, right? When I first started, it was 20 years ago, I was 27. My wife and I had just gotten married. I didn't have any kids yet. So now, 20 years later, I'm 47. I have 4 kids. And I have customers with me who've been with me for 20 years, and they've seen my journey from, like, a 20-year-old something to a guy who's almost 50 with 4 kids, and they've gone along with me. My essence hasn't changed, but I've gone in different markets. I've created different programs, but you're staying true to who you are. I know it sounds kind of fluffy and kind of personal development-y, but that's the truth. So few people do that. And then you be agile and you friggin' play. You try, let me try a video ad. That didn't work. Shit. Let me try this thing. That worked. Okay, cool. Let me do more of this. And let me now tweak this. Let me now take this and put this on a different platform. And the messaging is so vital. It's so important, is that messaging. And we're talking about the wealth management. I guarantee you, if I look up wealth managers, 99% of them, it's going to say the same thing. First class service, MBA from Brown or Cornell or wherever, right? Smith, Barney, or Solomon Brothers. Here's my pedigree. And then they'll have the 35 initials after them, right? It's the same friggin' thing. But you get someone who says, we all have the same shit. We all have the same thing. Here's why I'm different, because I really, truly care. And then you find a way to have that consistency throughout. I don't know if that really answered. I'm trying to synthesize it as best I can, but it's like building a business with soul. You got to do it with soul.
Do you think you can have 4 different business ideas and be successful at all 4 at the same time?
So can you have 4 different businesses and be successful at the same time? Years ago, I'd say yes, because I used to do it. Now, it's really, really hard, and I'll tell you why. Because to get traction is the hardest thing in the business. We can all start, we can have the idea, but to get traction is really hard. And now you almost have to be on social media, right? So now you have 4 companies, now you have 4 websites, now you have 4 Facebook things, now you have 4 Instagram thing. And now, you know, one market is younger, so now I need a Snapchat here and I need this. And now you've got 100 different things and you're taking freaking selfies and you're like, what the hell am I doing? You can't, but when you eliminate all that crap and just focus on that one, you're unstoppable. Or at least you it's so much easier to get traction. Imagine if you eliminated 3 of them and you focused on one and all of your energy's on one social media, one platform, one channel, one site, one email. I would not recommend. I would say if you have a lot of ideas, which most of us probably do, focus on one, get traction, get it to the point where whatever your goal is, 100,000, 1 million, 10 million, whatever that number is, and then say, okay, now I'm going to give now I have some resources, I'll give myself permission to play. I speak only in real world stuff. We have these ideas, and it's hard to turn off. It's hard to suppress it. So what I'll do is I'll mentally give myself time. I'll say, all right, I'm working for 5 hours today. I'll give myself 4 hours on my core business, and I'll give myself 1 hour to play. And like that's when I'll kind of go and I'll build a new site or I'll do something else just to kind of play and give myself that chance to breathe and do some other things, as opposed to saying, I need to focus on this one thing all day. So I think give yourself a little latitude, but focus as much as you can on one thing. It's really hard to build four different businesses, especially if they're not interrelated. If it's all the same, like if I have an energy bar company and I want to create a whole, you know, three or four other e-commerce companies that are all in health and they kind of, the list share and all that kind of stuff, it's easier, and especially if I would hire people, but I fight that urge all the time. It's much easier to get one. I know that might not be what you want to hear. That's from my experience.
Is it?
That's not what she wants to hear. I can see her in her face.
It's not me. I'm asking for a friend.
Oh, okay.
I know Bo looks like he have a question, and then we'll start to wrap it up too.
So Ryan, being a serial entrepreneur, coach, and 20 other things, how do you manage your time effectively? And how do you prioritize, you know, to achieve optimal results?
I'm kind of obsessed with just, like, having a system in place. Well, first, you have to know what your why. Like, my why is my kids, my family. So there's an old saying, if you want to get something done, ask the busiest person you know, because we'll find a way to get it done. So I know no matter what, I want to be done by like 4 o'clock. So I'm home driving and coaching and doing all that stuff with my kids. So I have no choice. I have to get things done. So having that deadline is really, really important. Always having deadlines, even if you don't need one, just to give yourself a deadline. But business-wise, the what I find is just you have to figure out for you what is the most important driver of your business. For me, I already have my media buyer. He knows what he's doing with our ads. For me, it's email. That's the most important driver of my business, doing a daily email to my list. So I find my space where I'm most creative. It's still going to a coffee shop. I go to a coffee shop. I write my email every single morning. I put music on. Now, if you're a creative type, here's my little hack. It's called repeat listening or something of that nature. But you find one song. I'll find one song for the day. I'll put it on repeat. I'll listen to it 50 times in a row. It doesn't matter. And it almost puts me in a hypnotic zone. And I don't check email. I don't do any of that crap. And I just write my email. So whatever it is for you, what maybe you're prospecting or sending out potential JV emails or doing ads, doing that first before all the other stuff. And then being really efficient with everything. In the morning, I have a rewind bar. That's my plug. Rewindbars.com.
Rewind.
My workout is, I do it at home, 20 minutes. The combination of treadmill and strength training, so I don't have to spend 2 hours in the gym. Not that I don't think people need to anyway, but just being really, really efficient with all of my time and getting as much done as I can in as short a period of time. And then just being home with my kids and then getting yelled at by my wife. It's pretty much the most, but that's, she scares the shit out of me. But yeah, that's it, but focusing on the biggest things first. And also, I'm blessed I don't have to. I block off my calendar. I work from a calendar. So I use my Google Calendar, and I block off every single day before noon. You cannot, if you want to do a coaching call with me or anything, you cannot do it before noon. That's my work time. That's my working in my business stuff. Before noon, you can't, no conference calls, no meetings, nothing. That's my work time every single day. And I also have Friday. I never take any appointments. So I know mentally if I need that day, I could have Friday off. And I usually see a movie by myself like a weirdo. But that's the greatest. That's like, I don't drink or do any of this stuff, so it's like going to a movie by myself. It's the greatest thing in the world. So yeah, just super, super efficient. It's turning off all distractions and putting the phones down. Like the phones are the productivity killers. They really are. And being okay saying, I'm going to just take time off and recharge. And the best thing mentally we could do, man, every day is take a walk. Like a 20-minute, like, that's when the ideas come. Like just unplugging and going for a walk, even when it's cold, just it's life changing.
You're in a flow state, my friend used to say.
Absolutely.
I don't want to have the last question. Is there any other specific question? If not, I'll do the last question. Anybody else? Oh well, we'll let you have the last one.
What if you want to do five businesses?
I don't want this to be the last question because I feel bad. So I'm the wife of the entrepreneur, right? What do you think is the best thing that your wife did for you, to support you as the entrepreneur?
Well, It's supporting me. So we started dating in college. So we were there she was there with me from the beginning. When I was a recreational therapist, I said, we're never going to make any money. And she's like, I don't care. So I'm like, all right, that's cool. But she's also very, very honest with me. And the worst thing you could do is have a yes man or a yes woman in your relationship. So having someone tell you the truth, and I always run it by my wife as a filter. And I'll say, oh, what do you think of this? And she goes, oh, sucks. It's terrible. And then if I'll say something, she'll be like, it's not the worst thing I ever heard. Winner. Like, my wife, I'm serious. Like, that is, it's the greatest thing is having someone who just, and someone obviously you know has your back, but she understands the ups and downs, because an entrepreneur is just, like, you know, it's getting your ass kicked pretty much every day. As an entrepreneur, you just have to have resilience. Like, we just have to have the ability to get back up and just keep moving, you know. Just support each other. And date nights. Lots of date nights.
Very good question. Very, very good question. So now I feel like selfish asking the one more from mine. So
Ask
I know that you've mentioned a lot. You know, we talked about branding, positioning. You talk about traffic generation. A lot of the traffic generation strategies that you were discussing were Facebook ads. So in order to test an idea, do you feel in today's environment you absolutely have to put money behind it? Or do you feel like there's still space to test ideas, figure out if messages or branding are resonating before putting money behind it?
Yeah, there's definitely ways to test for free or low cost. Even just a social media post, you know, what gets, it's not the best barometer, but what gets more likes and shares versus what doesn't. A lot of times we think something's going to, a lot of times we think it's the tactics people want. So for wealth management, we think it's, you know, here are six bonds or six funds you need to put your money into, and that might get a little bit of love, but then you could say, you know, a story. You could do a story about one of your clients, or a story about someone who lost it all but came back, and that's going to get, human interest is going to get so much more. The best way I test is I have an email list, and if you did nothing else out of this talk, it's the most important thing you could do for your business is building an email list and then and emailing them regularly. And by regularly, I mean at least once a week with good stuff. Like, not just tips, but actual life-changing advice and like just really, really good stuff. That's the most important thing you can do. And I'll test just on subject lines. So I'll do a subject line, and if it gets not a lot of opens, I'm like, all right, that was kind of lukewarm. And maybe I'll test the flavor idea, cinnamon coffee cake. And all of a sudden, everyone's opening. I'm like, all right, that's a winner. Let me start rolling with that. But yeah, there's lots of ways to test. But even if you did like a Facebook post or a YouTube ad and did like a $5 boost just to kind of get a little bit of idea, but there's lots of ways to test with that.
All right, very good. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to end it here, and I have to first thank you. Thank you very much for you know, accepting to take this Q&A.
Thank you. Everyone please, sit, thank please. You. Everyone over there, please sit down, please. Thank you. This is cool. You know, it's funny. I used to talk like every week or two and travel around the world and do all this stuff. And I just, about 6-7 years ago, I just stopped. I'm like, I don't want to anymore. I just want to be home. But this was kind of cool and intimate in a very weird, kind of creepy kind of way. So I hope you guys found value, even though I'm freezing my ass off. But no, this was real. And thank you for having me. And I love the fact you're still, you're working hard to get entrepreneurs and small business owners together to try to market together in the community. I think it's really important. And we all need a support system. Being an entrepreneur is real, like I said, it's really hard, but it can be really lonely too, because you don't have people to bounce ideas off of. So one of the best things I ever did is I started a group with three of my friends. They all live in the city. I call it a dadstermind, like a dad mastermind. There are three other guys who are successful in dads. And we meet up every 6 weeks and just talk about business and life. And that's you need that support system, even if it's just a text thread. Some other people that kind of get it, that are on the same page with you, to run ideas off of and people who are not yes men or yes women, to get the real, you know, this is good, this isn't, what do you think of this? It's important to get that.
Thank you
very much. Thank
you, everybody. And that's, thanks a lot. Woo. So, yeah, everybody's pretty much on the email list. You know, the main way of communicating is being on the email list, so you know the meetup's coming up. Again, thanks to everybody for coming in.